most of the period in the 90s I completely missed. And when I say I completely missed it, I spent all of my time head down in my work building a business that really wasn't even my business. I was building somebody else's business for them as one of their lead salespeople. And I wrecked a personal relationship as a result of it. I had a marriage that I was literally 1 year into, and I created, you know, you can't build a solid house on a foundation of sand. And so after we got beyond the 90s, the foundation of sand was crumbling, and so did my marriage. And not at all, I'm not going to blame any of it on my first wife. I will blame the majority of the failure of the properly placed foundation on me, because I was so busy freaking paying attention, missing everything that my kids went through. I'm just solid that I'm glad that I have a great relationship with my kids. I actually have a better relationship with my ex-wife right now than I did when I was married to her. Mm. And so for me, that time was really a valuable lesson to learn about what really is important in life. And yes, work is important. Yes, your livelihood and loving what you do, it's important. But man, if your family isn't important to you, or if those closest to you that can be your greatest support mechanism aren't important to you, you've got to get your priorities in check, because that is where you should begin, right there.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. My name is James. I am the host of 3 Steps to Thrive. That is the podcast where every week we bring on awesome entrepreneurs and successful owners, and we interview them, talk a little bit about their past, but also ask them about 3 practical, actionable, and simple steps they can do to improve themselves or their business. This week, I am so happy to have podcast extraordinaire Esquire, Doug Sandler. Doug, say hello.
Hey, what's going on, James? Good to be here.
So I have to tell you, folks, just totally straight off the bat, Doug taught me everything I know about podcasting. So
you better not screw up then, James, because well, if I taught you everything I know and I'm the pro and you're screwing up, this is not good.
Well, the other thing is that if you have a complaint, send it to complaint@dougsandler.com. You're okay. I'm just joking, team. But Doug did actually legit tell me everything about podcasting. He's kind of a big deal. Doug has 2 podcasts. Three podcasts. One is The Nice Guys on Business. One is Turnkey. And the other one is Classic Mustangs?
Yeah, but if you're only going to give them 3, you got to give them the other 3 as well then. So there's a total of 6, but you are heading down the right path. Ford Mustang, the early years. But let's not forget BizWiz, SedEx, and Women, Men, and Relationships, 3 other shows that I either host or co-host too. So I'm going to be an overachiever. I'm really going to go for it.
There you go. So Doug spends all of his time talking to people, which is actually the truth. That's actually what it is. All right. Doug has a business partner named Strickland. They've been friends for over 20 years. And to be honest, it continues to amaze me that both of you are so nice to each other. It's not easy having a business partner. And you live up to your moniker, Nice Guys, as well.
Well, thanks, James. I appreciate that. We worked very hard to keeping that that Nice Guys moniker as well.
I still have a little bit of bio to ask, but bio to read. But I'm curious. Does that involve if one of you gets angry, the other one says, "Hey, Strickland, hey, you're not being a nice guy. Hey, let's bring it back."
No, we don't actually. You know, it's funny. We thought about the name of the show and the Nice Guys on Business. Sometimes we're not so nice, so then we'd just be called the Guys on Business. And then sometimes we don't even talk about business, so it should be just the guys. It should be maybe the episode of the podcast should just be the guys. But you know, that we thought that was a little too generic. We're not always nice. We do lead with nice. I mean, nice is a mindset. Nice is a stance, and nice is a way to lead your life. But even nice guys have bad days sometimes, right?
Yeah, for sure. Or bad moments, right? You started this in 2015, and you know, you made new and noteworthy within the first month that came out. And you've had some amazing people come on your show, Gary Vee, Arianna Huffington, Dan Harris, just to name, you know, three of the multiple dozens that you've had on. And just so you know, it sounds like a dating show, but Doug's one big pet peeve is having his bio read word for word. So team, you'll notice that for everybody else.
Pretty well, James.
I haven't read it word for word, but for everybody else who's on this show, you know, a lot of times I'm reading, but for you, Doug, I did that especially for you.
Well, thanks. Well appreciated. You're a good student. Now, when you actually get to do it for every guest, then you'll own it, right?
There you go. So my first question has to be this. And the other pet peeve, by the way, team, is if you ever interview Doug Sandler, you can't ask, you can't say, why podcasting? Because apparently everybody asks you this. So my question to you, my first question to you is, it's Doug and Strickland, and you've been business partners and friends for a number of years now and been really successful at this. Was this the plan? Was the plan to have Doug do all the fun stuff in all the interviews and have poor Strickland in the back doing the back end? And let me tell this to the listeners, because you don't see this, but what happens is Doug and I do a lot of networking, virtual networking on Zoom. And here Doug is talking, or here Strickland is, and poor Strickland is pouring his heart out to the crowd. And Doug is in Zoom chat, just totally throwing him under the bus and cutting out his leg. Was this always the design?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we talk about always staying in our zone of genius and Strickland's zone of genius. If you think about it as a restaurant, you have the executive chef and behind the scenes, and you have the hostess stand and the front of house manager. I'm the front house manager, and Strickland does all the stuff in the kitchen. And it's not pretty what goes on in the kitchen, but they do deliver a really nice meal. My job is to take whatever chaos is going on and make it seem like it's completely calm and calm the customers down. So we have always had this role. Even as we were friends, I was always the funny guy to his straight man. And over our friendship, and Strickland and I were both in the entertainment business, he as a guitar player in a band, and me as a mobile DJ. And yeah, we spent 20 years running those businesses together on separate planes. And then we finally came together with this podcast. And it's been an amazing relationship. We complement the sides of each other, that we, you know, his strength is my weakness, my weakness is his strength.
Right. You don't even like the same drinks. You're a wine guy from California. Yeah. He's totally a Scotch guy, right?
Scotch, whiskey, fireball.
Or a whiskey guy. It's a weird combination, but it works, and that's the really neat thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, folks, so definitely check them out. One thing I'm curious about, there's a couple things that I read in your bio when I read it word for word.
And you keep saying that, James. You actually did, and you did very well with that.
So this is what I love about the name. The big podcast that you have, and I think it's what, 2.5 million downloads?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Is that right? That's like the population of Canada, right? But the 2.5 million downloads. You know, the neat thing I love about this is you released this in 2015. And in 2015, just to give people an idea, there's so many business gurus out there right now. And the one thing about male business gurus is, you know, you talk about toxic masculinity, right? That was a buzzword a few months ago. Sure. and maybe last year. And there's so much, I'm going to quote it as toxic masculinity out there for gurus, right? Like male business gurus. It's almost like you have to be talking like this really fast, and your arms have to be waving, and you have to say things like, you're not making any money. Why am I making money? Because you're an idiot. Take my system, you know? And you get a lot of this. And, you know, the gurus of the gurus, so there's people coming up now, it's 2020, try to emulate a lot of that. And you and Strickland have really kind of bucked that trend. Nice Guys on Business is completely the opposite of that trend. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote a book in 2015, which was actually the reason why I launched the podcast, Nice Guys Finish First. The book was called, or is called, Nice Guys Finish First, not Nice Guys on Business. So Nice Guys Finish First was the name of the book. In chapter one, I mentioned this guy, Gary Shandling. I don't know if you know Gary, but he was a comedian that passed away a few years ago. And the quote that I have, or something like this, I says, if you don't think nice guys finish first, you don't know where the finish line is. Yes, we can go about being a tyrant in business. And yes, we can go about being condescending and creating an environment that's toxic, like you mentioned. And certainly there are going to be those people that win for doing that. But that wasn't how I wanted to wake up every day. I wanted to wake up every day with a positive attitude, with a smile on my face, and a can-do, let's get it done, I'll go first mentality, you know, the Jay Fassett mentality of I'll go first, we're better together is his mentality as well. So for me, this we're better together works a lot better for me when I'm nice to somebody. And I'm not nice because it's conditional nice that if you do something for me, I will be nice. I feel like if you lead with nice, good things happen to you. You feel better about yourself. You attract more nice in your world. And if nothing else happens, how about just the fact that the world right now and always needs more nice in it? So why not be the leader of that you know, position, that attitude?
It's so true. So team, you know, we're recording this in June 2020, and there's George Floyd had just happened probably 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. There's riots. We're in the middle of a COVID pandemic. It is really weird. You know, people are surmising. We're not even halfway through the year, and people surmising that 2020 is going to be the weird year. Let me ask you this question. So, nice. We talked about nice, and you've interviewed some really heavy hitting guests, right? And in my own world, I've sort of done the same thing, like yourself, and like, you know, I would consider you a heavy hitter, and there's a whole bunch of other people with sort of that same mass of followers. Have you found them nice as well? And let me just ask you that straight out. Like, are they nice people? Is that what you notice, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, again, law of attraction. The people that are attracted to my show, the ones that I see their application or I go after them, yeah, I would say that those tend to be the nice people. You know, John C. Maxwell, yes, he teaches leadership, and he teaches leadership by example. He teaches how to be a great leader by raising other people to leadership heights. You know, that's pretty nice in my opinion. There mm-hmm. have been some people that have come on my show. I don't think they acted so nice, but I don't think that they can get to where they are without creating a culture of teamwork, a culture of everybody in this together, a teamwork of I'll go first. You know, Gary Vee, while he may be a little bit brash and he may be a little bit rough around the edges, I've heard him talk. He's genuinely a gentle guy. Now, I don't know if he's nice to the core, but it's certainly because I don't know him personally. I can't say that I think that he is a nice guy, but I can say that while he does have a veneer of kind of crunchy a little bit, like really rough around the edges. I've heard him talk about, you know, he talks about the ROI. What's the return on investment of your mother? You know, you can't be a guy that's talking about your mom and be a pain in the ass at the same time. So for me, he probably is nice. He probably hides it over this veneer. But I really do think that the people that I am attracted to and the people that I attract into my life, I think genuinely they are nice people.
You got to wonder what the revenue of pasta and meatballs is. You know, you have to wonder if that's tabulated on an aggregated scale, and if there's it depreciates over time. Anyways, when you learn the recipe, is it depreciated? It is still a good. So it's interesting because you talk about attracting people from the same kind of mindset, if you will. Is that something that you had? Let me ask you two questions. So it's a two-part question. Okay. First part is the people who you interviewed who are really successful. Mm-hmm. How important is it that they are themselves? And the second part of that is, have you had to kind of work on being the best version of yourself to get yourself where you are?
Well, who's not always working on themselves? I mean, that to me would be a statement of not that that's a question of a statement of the obvious, but the statement of the obvious is those that have stopped working have died. Yeah. You know, like, when are you not working on yourself? At 55 years old, finding myself at the tail end of a couple of failed marriages, I realized, hey, look, the common denominator in those marriage failures was probably me. So maybe it's time for me to start doing a little deeper dive into my personal life. From a business perspective, I'm always working on me. Yeah. I mean, how can you not be working on you? When you give up, it's when your market collapses on you. It's when you fail to improve upon who you are and what you do. I think it's somebody that's not any longer passionate. When you have on your app, on your phone, and if you're somebody in James's community, I'm about to describe you, I apologize, not apologize for the comment, but I apologize if this is where you're coming from. If you have an app on your phone that teaches you or tells you how many days until retirement, or how many more hours until Saturday so that you can get to happy hour, or how many more moments until you can get to that next good thing that's in your life, doesn't that show you that you might not be enjoying who you are and what you're doing? Maybe it's time to take a little bit of a deeper look, maybe it's time to do some introspection. Is that a word? I think it's a word. You're supposed to look deep, dig deep inside and see if you're really doing what you were called to do. And if the answer is no, then figure out what is that next step for you in business. For me, when I finally was able to hire a team around me, work with a team around me that allowed me to stay in my zone of genius, going back to you said something you said earlier, tongue in cheek, but really the sincere way to look at this, James, is that Strickland does the stuff in our business that he loves doing. He loves wallowing in the spreadsheets and the systems and the operations. And I hate that stuff. I love being the out front guy. I love sharing. I love telling my story. I love hearing people's stories. That's the stuff that makes it gold for me. I don't know if that completely went down a different path or if that kind of brought you to the part where I think people should always be looking to change and evolve and be in touch with their true self.
That's fair. It's interesting, right? And it's, you answered the question, you answered the second part of the question, which is amazing. And I'll rephrase the first question, the first part of the question, but it's, let me put in a little poke here. It's not easy being interviewed, is it? You're used to asking the questions. This is a weird one for you.
I like sharing this side of it because it's the side, especially the questions that you're asking, James, just to give you a little, some kudos here. You ask the questions that are not typically the questions that get asked when somebody has had any level of success. They would start asking me, well, why are you successful? Or what's the common denominator? Mm-hmm. But you're asking questions that are actually a couple of layers deeper. And I think that those are the most important questions. It's not, what do you think made you successful? It's, how did you get there? And how can we describe this so that my community can actually ride along with you during this process? And I think it really is about, we all take a deeper look at what our purpose is. What are we doing on this earth? My purpose is not to be a podcaster or to teach podcasting. My purpose might be to help other people share their voice with the world. And it just happens to be through the vehicle of podcasting that's done.
Right. So the people who were really successful who came on your show, you know, it's a really interesting thing. So, you know, we have all these books like Good to Great, Habits of Highly Successful People, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's interesting because we try to emulate a lot of these people. But at the same time, it's difficult to emulate because you emulate certain parts, right? Warren Buffett still lives in the same childhood home he grew up in. Mark Zuckerberg certainly does not live in the same home he grew up in. In fact, most people don't. So who do you emulate? They're both super successful in their own right. Is that a piece that you notice about people who are super successful? They come in and they are just themselves and they're so in touch with what drives them. Is that a commonality that you see amongst people who come on your show who are, you know, are just killing it?
Well, there was two things wrapped up in there. I think that I thought where you were going to head with that question was, is there a common bond? Is there a common marker within all of these people that leads to their level of success? And what is it about you that can help that you can share? How do you take all of these aspects of people's lives and how do you create one successful person and what have you modeled yourself after? And I would say, you know, I don't think there's an original thought in the world any longer, or maybe there never was. Mm-hmm. I think that all of the things, just like every program, every online course, every podcast, everything that's been created, these are all ideas that have just been innovated and reiterated and reinvented. I've learned from some amazing people. You know, I've learned from in this world. I've learned from Steve Ulscher. I've learned from Jay Fizet. I've learned from Michael Neely. I've learned from Adam Shibley. I've learned from, there's so many people that I've learned, like I've learned from my girlfriend, JJ. You know, the things that you learn about yourself through emulating what other people do, I think all of those collectively make up the whole you. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, all of those things have created me, and me is a unique me. You know, it's just, I can't say I'd love to have said I followed in the steps of my father when it came to success, but when it came to his personal life, I think he was, you know, not very wise about it. So to say, what is it that makes a successful person, or what is it, how are you successful, or what is the collective that put them all together? How can you be uniquely you? I think all of those things are true. We are all a work in progress, and we all pull our components and different parts that fit into our world through through what we see. Law of attraction, I'm going to be attracted to this aspect of that person, this aspect of that. There's certain things about Jay Fossett that I've seen, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a great thing to be able, a tangible thing that I can pull away, put into my life. And there's other components that from his life, I don't want to be as busy as he is. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh no, I'll leave that up on the shelf, but I'll go first and we're better together.
Yeah.
From him.
Yeah. So. And that works for you, right? Which is amazing. It's worked within your skill set. And, you know, I think sometimes I agree with you. Sometimes we spend so much time trying to be somebody else, we forget who we are. And, you know, it's really tiring being somebody else.
Well, that's the key though. We spend so much time trying to be somebody else. And what I would forewarn people is don't try to be them, be you, but take the things that you like. If you see something, model them. You know, that's the benefit of having a mentor. Have a mentor in your life, somebody that you're not necessarily paying to mentor you, but somebody that you will have in your life that's a good friend. I mean, there are we've talked about this just because it's just something that's interesting about Canadians. All Canadians that I have met are extremely friendly. I have no idea.
I'm sorry, Doug.
I did not realize how friendly Canadians were. Yes. But what's so cool about it is I'm taking stuff from you that will help me in my next appointment, or help me down the road, or help me right this moment to stay in my zone of I know that being nice is actually a way to be also successful in life.
Yeah, it's awesome. Congratulations on all your success. Like, it's, you know, I read your bio, and this is actually reading word for word, right? So I read your bio, and it's a litany of successes. And you talk about zone of genius and being able to do what you do. Tell me about a time, because, you know, like our listeners, they basically all want to be you. They all want to do what they love, and they all want to make a ton of money doing it, and they all want to get free wine from dedicated, passionate
yeah,
fans, right?
So, right.
But tell me about a time when you failed. And when you failed, what did you learn? And it could be personal. It could be professional.
Yeah, I got it. And thank you for the wine, by the way. That was very nice of you. Sorry, the wine, that was good. So the 1990s, from probably 1991 until basically 2001. So most of the period in the 90s, I completely missed. And when I say I completely missed it, I spent all of my time head down in my work, building a business that really wasn't even my business. I was building somebody else's business for them as one of their lead salespeople. And I wrecked a personal relationship as a result of it. I had a marriage that I was literally 1 year into, and I created, you know, you can't build a solid house on a foundation of sand. And so after we got beyond the 90s, the foundation of sand was crumbling, and so did my marriage. And not at all, I'm not going to blame any of it on my first wife. I will blame the majority of the failure of the properly placed foundation on me, because I was so busy freaking paying attention, missing everything that my kids went through. I'm just solid that I'm glad that I have a great relationship with my kids. I actually have a better relationship with my ex-wife right now than I did when I was married to her. Mm. And so for me, that time was really a valuable lesson to learn about what really is important in life. And yes, work is important. Yes, your livelihood and loving what you do, it's important. But man, if your family isn't important to you, or if those closest to you that can be your greatest support mechanism aren't important to you, you've got to get your priorities in check, because that is where you should begin right there. Now, how do you teach somebody that? They have to go through it themselves. Yeah, so I went through it, and it was not pretty. And I replaced that with an equally dysfunctional relationship on the other side, because I paid too much attention to the next marriage that I went through. And so that created a smothering effect. So I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't work. This is going to work, because I'm going to fix everything that I didn't do in my first freaking marriage, and I'm going to fix it on the second one that screwed up too. And so for me, that challenge, I tell the people that are in your listening community, man, focus on being the real you. Focus on being you. Focus on stop impressing your boss. Stop impressing and doing things for other people. Do things because they sit well with you and they're good with you, but have the ability to have a gut check every once in a while and said, is this really what I should be doing? Could I be in a different area, getting more pleasure out of life, being happier in life? So I know that's a really long answer to a very short question, and it was a great question you asked. So that's where I would probably focus somebody's attention, on being the real you.
Yeah. No, that's it's super important, right? And the other thing, you know, I think the greatest irony in that situation is that you worked so hard in both instances to be success. You actually ended up, ironically enough, becoming a failure from trying to succeed too hard, right? And that's totally fine. Was that where did that come from? Where did that drive come from to have this marriage succeed or to have this really good job work out? Where was that coming from?
I think genetically I'm predispositioned to want success in my life. If I look at who my dad was and who my mom was and look back to the example that they set in business and then look back in their childhood, what they did, they were always success driven. If you don't think that is a part of your genetics, I think that you're wrong. There's some tapes that are already automatically you entered into when you were born. Those tapes may already be playing when you're born. And for me, the thought of not being successful wasn't an option. I wanted to, in such a great way, to have my parents be proud of me. And so head down, working hard, I just thought from the moment I got out of college that this was the way it was supposed to be, because that's all I had ever seen when I was growing up. So what did I know? So I just did I modeled what I saw as success in life, and realizing that, hey, this really is not the way that things should be. It's a great awakening when you get to your 40s or your 50s and you realize the way that you have been doing things actually is kind of screwed up. So
it does take 20 years of working in the working world, though, doesn't it? Before you figure this all out. It's a long time.
Yeah. And so when you say to somebody, hey, what I would do early on in my life, if I had to do this over again, this career over again, I would spend more time in figuring myself out and less time trying to figure out my job than being okay with not being mediocre. I mean, be the best you could be, but spend more time in my zone of genius, understanding that taking more time to develop what it is that I really want to do with my life, mm-hmm. and don't be in such a hurry. But that doesn't work for somebody that is money motivated, that wants it all right now. And that's a really challenging position to be in. And I wish a lot of luck to those and success to those that are in your community that are hearing this thinking, yeah, that's exactly who I am. I'm working way too hard. I just don't know how to find balance. Find somebody that will help you find your balance.
Yeah. And a lot of that time, I imagine there has, you know, there are challenging questions involved, you know, sadly for you, I don't know if it's sad or, you know, cause you're in this great position and you're super happy now, which is amazing. But at the same time, you know, if someone had pulled you up and said, Doug, what the hell are you doing? This isn't working for you. But
yeah,
it's hard, right? Because we are taught that success is supposed to look a certain way. Success is supposed to persist.
The teacher will appear when the student is ready. And so if I was not ready at the time when the student and the teacher appeared, I wouldn't have seen it anyway. You know, you can only see it when you're ready to see it. And I think that if even somebody shook me by the shoulders and held me there and said, Doug, don't you see, you idiot, what you're doing in this from 1991 to 2001, I may have just said, hey, could you go away? I'm too busy working right now to focus on what you have to say.
Yeah.
And so that's the challenge, is for all of us to understand what's your gut telling you. If your gut's telling you lay all your energy and effort into work, that's cool. But maybe not drag a whole bunch of people through it with you. Just be in it yourself. Be in it yourself.
That is fair. Good on you. Let's talk about your new project here. So, and I was part of the beta group going through, which wasn't really a beta group because it was just smashing amazing. So
thanks.
Tell us about your project.
So we have a program called the Ultimate Launch, the Ultimate Podcast Launch Formula, which is a hybrid of an online training program, which is the high tech with the high touch side of direct coaching. So we put together a podcast launch. So if those that are in a community want to launch a podcast, we're going through the process that begins actually in the next week or two, based upon when this is airing, when we have 100 people on August 18th are going to be launching podcasts. We did it with your group. I think there was 21 in the group. We're going to do it with 100 podcasts launching August 18th. If you reverse engineer it, that means we have a lot of work to do between the beginning of July and August 18th. 4 weeks of training, a couple of weeks to put all the components together, and then launching August 18th. And we're excited. If anybody in your community wants to launch a podcast, grow community, build influence, make money podcasting, this is the way to do it, and do it so that you're not spending tens of thousands of dollars to do it. This is a program that's literally $500.
Yeah.
And so they can go through it and they can launch a podcast. And we had a huge success. We're going to even introduce a a Facebook group for additional support in this, and the and a whole bunch of new tools that we didn't even have when you went through it, James, which are even going to heighten the level of the high touch part of this program, the ultimate podcast launch formula.
Amazing. You know, I should probably do the program again, start with another podcast. I'll have six one day.
You are welcome to.
let me ask you this question, and you touched on it quickly. And I know there are three points in there of why people should start a podcast, but why really should people start a podcast? What is deep down inside? What is the thing that, is it a means to an end, or is it something you love? Like what, where does that come from?
So part of getting my needs met is this relationship thing. You know, it's the ability to connect with people, and especially in this environment that we're dealing with today, in this COVID environment today. Now, this might not be the same environment in a year from now, but today that connection is so important. And I never realized how deep a connection that you could have. I mean, you and I just sat through a live event with 198 other people, where I didn't think that I was actually going to be able to really connect with people on a virtual event. But boy, was that wrong. So it's not like we changed our mind about the ultimate podcast launch formula and said, well, we're going to do this online instead of in person. But you still can have a deep connection with people, even in a group environment, even online, even as long as you're providing the high touch components, which would be support, accountability, directly interfacing with them if they have questions. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we need. So for me, the answer to podcasting, or the reason I got into podcasting, the answer to that was it was enabling me to further promote what I couldn't promote any other way. I mean, I didn't want to spend $3,500 a month for my book promotion. So if you have a business, you know, through a publicist, if you have a business and you want to promote it, I can't think of a lower barrier of entry than $500, or even better, do it free. I don't care. I'd love you to go through the program, but launch a podcast and see exactly, if you do it right, what benefits that you will get through growing a community, so sharing a message with the community that could be grown, building influence by having other influencers like John C. Maxwell and Jeffrey Gitomer and Arianna Huffington and Gary Vaynerchuk, getting other influencers. When you associate with them, you become an influencer by proxy. Mm. And the third thing is, I wanted to do it for some selfish reasons. I wanted to make some money.
Yeah.
And so everybody thinks money comes from sponsorship. That's the least part of the equation. Money comes from so many other sources than other than sponsorship and advertising. I wouldn't say no to that, but that's not where your money's coming from, because I'm not a Ron Burgundy. I'm not a Tim Ferriss or Tony Robbins, but I do have the ability to share my message, build a community, and make money podcasting. And that's what the formula is all about.
Awesome. When you get this group of 100 people and they're about to launch, and they all sing the praises of, you know, 99% Doug, 1% Strickland, poor Strickland.
Okay, that's good.
But what is your favorite? What are you most excited for people to discover when they do this?
Oh,
when
man.
They start doing it.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And they won't discover it for a little while into their journey, which is totally fine. But if they stay in the game, they stay in it. Like James, you stay in this journey. I think you see this, you're going to see this very clearly when I say it. Your gift that you are going to get from podcasting is the hidden gift of the network that you are going to build from that guest seat. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the guys that you're going to meet and be able to connect with and have a relationship with. It's in 1,100 episodes of producing The Nice Guys on Business over the last 5 years, we've had over 800 people in that guest seat. My best joint venture opportunities, collaborative efforts, affiliate relationships have come from that guest seat. So, but that doesn't happen immediately, because you're still, not you, but one is still struggling in the beginning with, how do I interview? How does this equipment work? How do I make sure that I get it posted properly? How do I do the editing? All of the stuff, it's almost unimportant. The stuff is unimportant. It's the people, it's the relationships, and it's the business that you're going to get from them, and the personal relationships you're going to develop with them as well.
Well, that's interesting, right? Because you and I have this pleasant conversation. I know when I go back and I'm doing a very, very little edit, I had to chop the front and the back and I put it together, but then you have to do the show notes, and then you have to do the bio, and then you have to do the, so it takes a while, right? And you actually help with this stuff. I know you do, but it still takes a while to get done. Right?
It absolutely can take a while. If you're a person that likes to get in the weeds, and you're somebody that really your zone of genius is doing all of those details, the you know, like you said, taking the front and the end off, putting the voiceover on there, posting it to a hosting source, getting it to your website, promoting it on social media, sharing it with your guests. I mean, I just named like six things, like boom, 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 boom. If that's your thing, awesome. Do it. That is not my thing. Totally didn't want to do it. Wanted to have a team to do it. And it took us about 3 years to be able to afford having a team do it for us. But as soon as we did that and focused on the stuff that is in our zone of genius, man, oh man, James, that was when it went from 100,000 to 200,000, 200,000 to 300,000. It's amazing. A seven-figure business waiting to happen. And we know we're right on the cusp of it right now.
Which is amazing, right? Because you talked about all these struggles before and all you had to do was find your zone of genius and be yourself, which is awesome.
I really do think so. When you do stay in that zone, all of the things that are, you know, when you finally get immersed in what you love doing and you can eliminate the noise and the distractions and the other things that are going on, when you can stay out of your inbox long enough, realizing that your inbox for your email is actually somebody else's to-do list. It's not your to-do list, it's their to-do list.
That is true.
When you can stay out of that long enough for you to focus on doing what you really do best, which is your gift to the world. Your gift to the world is the stuff that you would do free, but people would want to pay you for. And when you realize that it's your obligation to charge for the stuff that is your gift, people that want to pay you for it, then that's when the collision of what I'm doing is amazing and what people want to pay me for is the same thing. And you're like, oh my God, I get paid to build relationships. I get paid to talk on a podcast. I make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by talking to great guys like you. How challenging do you think this is for me? Not. Right. So I can't think of a better thing that I could be doing with my life other than this right now.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And you're right. The inbox is a list of to-dos for somebody else. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you just sent 6 emails in the past 2 days. Isn't that right?
I did. You know what? I wanted to make sure that you are aware of the stuff that you should be doing for the promote the launch. So, but you're right. That is my to-do hitting your inbox. And now it becomes your to-do. You can either accept it or not accept it. When you accept it, that becomes your responsibility now. You didn't have to accept it, but I think you liked it.
I want to do it. You know that. All right. I'm going to give you a moment for your 3 steps, and then we're going to talk about how people can connect with you. Sure. But before that, I have one more question.
Yeah, go.
For you. So in the very, very top of your bio, very, very top of the page, it reads like this. I'm going to read one line. It says, Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner have been friends for nearly 20 years. They share a common passion. Exemplary customer service. Is that actually a thing? Like, why, out of all the things you could have said, motivational, you could have said heart-centered, you could have said a social butterfly, a connector, you said exemplary customer service.
Yeah, we are all in the PR business, and the PR is not public relations, it's people and relationships. And when you forget that you are all about, everybody is a customer to me. You're my customer when you were my guest on my show. Strickland is my customer, as my partner, so I need to make sure that he is getting the things that he needs from me in order for him to do his job. My team is my customer. And then there is the customer, the end user. When we forget that everybody is our client, and this is why I've been able to maintain a positive attitude through life, because I realized, and I don't think it's a false positive attitude, I think it is an understanding that in order to get the things we want in our life, we have to give what we want. And so for me to be able to be positive and give positivity and give catching somebody in the act of doing something right instead of catching them in the act of doing something wrong. When you're able to deliver a compliment and share gratitude and be courteous and empathetic and compassionate, I think the world becomes a better place. So for me, the customer experience. Now, remember, customer to me is everybody. So the everybody experience is so important. So delivering exemplary customer service, delivering exemplary service to people just makes sense. If you want things to get done for you, you've got to do it for them. And so that's why we have this common goal of making sure everybody is happy. And I'm hoping that you didn't feel like you were just an outlier that we made happy in this process. I'm hoping that you felt like, man, these guys really want everybody in this course to be happy because they seem to be over-delivering. I mean, did you ever feel at any point, and I'm okay if you say no, but did you ever feel at any point that we weren't over-delivering with every promise that we made?
No, it's true. Everything that you did, you went far and above, right? I mean, when we went through, because it was a beta test, we got a better deal. You're charging $500 now for the next group, which is still a massive
I know. Deal, and I know we're going to charge $1,497 the next time we do it too. But I'll tell you, even at free, I did not look at the price. didn't look at the price and say, oh, well, we gave it to these people, so we don't really have to deliver it. No, we said we're giving it to these people because we want to over-deliver and show them what we're actually capable of. And for the next group at $500, same thing. We are going to over-deliver, and we're going to, everything that we say, if we say you think is at a 10, we're going to deliver a 15.
Yeah.
Because that's my nature to want to do that. Yep. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's just part of who we are, you know? And so you'll be the victim of extra exemplary customer service when you go through this. I'm sorry ahead of time if we're so nice.
Yeah. You're so Canadian, Doug. You should have been a Canadian.
I know it.
All right, let's get to your three steps here. So just a reminder, folks, to all listeners, and I know you know this already, but every week we bring on an exceptional business owner or an exceptional entrepreneur, and we ask them a little bit about their background, but you know, three practical, actionable, and simple steps to help you, the listener, improve either yourself or improve the business. So, Doug, you have the floor, my friend.
All right. So the first thing I would tell you to do is don't let perfect be the enemy of done. If you have a project that you're working on, get the project done and move on to the next project. Okay. So it's really important for you not to get stuck in the, well, should I edit this? Should I do this different? Just get it out there. The next thing, which falls perfectly in line with don't let perfect be the enemy of done, is learn to fail fast. It's okay to fail. You know, you don't have to worry about the process. Just get in, mess it up really good, and fail as much as you can. I mean, you don't want to purposely fail, but work towards perfection, but understand it's okay to fail. And probably the final thing that I would say is, and maybe this is kind of sounds silly or sounds, you know, maybe this is a little bit juvenile. Listen to your mother, you know, listen to your mom. Like as you're doing your business, as you're going about your day, what would your mother think? If your mother's not living, what would your mother say? Or maybe it's your dad. For me, it's what my mom would think. What would your mom think about what you're doing? Would she be proud of you? Would this be something, would this be a voice that she would be using? Would this be an action that she would take? Is this something that's honest? Is this something that is genuine? Is this being the real you? My mom used to set me up in front of a mirror. I can remember this when I was 6 or 7 years old. Stand me up in front of a mirror, because we came from a family, unfortunately, that from a divorced family. And my mom thought that there was maybe some self-esteem issues going on with me. She'd stand me in front of a mirror and she said, look at that guy in the mirror. He's a good guy. He's a guy that deserves winning. He's a guy that deserves love. He's a guy that deserves being on this earth, or a variety of those statements. And I come back to, like, what would your mother think? Because how can you make a mistake when you think about what would my mom think? Mm-hmm. And go the opposite way, you know, in your gut, that's probably not the right way to go.
That's unbelievably powerful and a little bit left of center. And I don't mind, right?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Let me ask you this question and it's interesting because I think your second point was fail fast off the top
of
my head. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. You know, when you see this when you launch with the first group of podcasts, you're going to see it with the second 100, right? I don't understand this, or I understand it all too well. This is my issue, right? But logically, it doesn't make sense. And let me put this point out to you, is that you pay money to take your course. Why are you paying money? Because you want the learning and you want a little bit of guidance. And then you're struggling with something. And then Doug says, show me what you've done. And then the impetus is, oh, it's not very good. I'm going to hide it. Why are you hiding it, right? This is the reason why Doug is here. Doug is here to try to help you. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And there's this fear of failure that holds people back sometimes, right? So here's a tip, team. If your gut is saying something like, take a jump, then just try it. Because you've got really nothing to lose. It's $500, but it could be like the inflection point of your life or the inflection point of your business. Or maybe you just find something that you love doing, like I have. And to be honest, 8 weeks ago, I wasn't in this position. Doug was kind of, I'm going to say as it is, Doug was begging me to join him. I don't know how true that is, but.
I'll take that. That's fine. That's, you know, when you say to somebody, hey, I'm going to give you something, would you take it? That which is given away has no value. So I probably did. I probably did beg you, because at that point, 8 weeks ago, you may not have seen the value on what, you know, standing back 5 years ago and looking now at 1,100 episodes ago, I know the value of this podcasting space. And you looking at it before you got into it, you're like, I don't want to do another thing. My schedule is busy, or I just don't feel like it, or I don't see what benefit it would have to me. I would have argued with you, you really should take a look at it. Now, we didn't know each other at that point, so there's only so much I could do. So I'm like, please take this. Here's the offer I'm making to everybody. It's free for you guys. Would you be interested in taking it? And, you know, the only condition I had was just give me feedback as you're going through the course so I can improve it. Fortunately, it's crazy. I don't think I had anybody that said, here's the things that you needed to do to change it. They may have had some tweaks, but nobody was like, here's the big change that I need you to make in order to have this be successful. Everybody kept saying, you need to charge what we thought originally was, oh, let's charge $500 or $600 for this. People were saying $1,500 and $2,000. And I'm like, I want to make it accessible to more people, especially early on, so people can go through this big launch of 100. We might have 200. I have no idea how many shows are going to launch. Just even some of the social media and some of the links that have gotten out there have put already almost 20 people into our webinar. And I haven't even our promo period doesn't start until next week. So I'm like, oh, I mean, we could have literally 1,000 people sitting at that webinar, and that would be freaking ridiculous. That would be the most exciting thing ever.
It's amazing, right? So we got a little bit off track, but it's no problems. Those 3 points again, in your own words.
Fail fast. Don't let perfect be the enemy of done. And what would your mother say?
Awesome. It's good talking to you. Look, Doug, I 110% appreciate you being on the show and all the help that you've given, not just myself, but a number of different entrepreneurs and business owners out there. And I know you always lead with your heart, and now I know why, because you always believe your mother's behind you watching you, right?
Right. Which is probably a good reason. I'm scared of my mom.
It's a good reason to do the right thing. But before we sign off, final notes, final thoughts.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. And I really do. I love the fact that you just picked up the ball with some trust and started running with it, saying, okay, I don't know where I'm going, but I think I can get there from here. So it's like, okay, that's cool. Let me help you. I would just tell those that are in your community to really dig deep into finding out, figuring out, determining, forget podcasting for a moment, in the business world or in life, find out, get a little closer to who you are. You know, we're all got that work in progress sign above our head. Just work a little bit harder in figuring out who you are. And, you know, this is a great life. I would say, I have something called shower notes in my shower. I write notes to either myself or to my girlfriend. And one of the notes that I've most recently written, probably in the last week or two, maybe even longer, is the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Hmm. This is not a destination. This is a journey. And what are we all working? We're all hoping we're getting somewhere. And that next step is, where is that next step? But in the process, we've sacrificed the passage of time. So why not understand the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time?
Right. Amazing. So the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Quote by Doug Sandler. We're going to be bantering this back and forth for the next few weeks. You know this.
I think James Taylor sang it in a song. And yes. I think Einstein said that he could never understand it all, but the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. And that's truly how I feel. And that's where that is my goal. I can't always say I'm there, but I can say that that is always what my goal is, to enjoy the passage of time.
That's amazing. Doug, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me.
And team, that was Doug Sandler, who did an amazing job. Thank you so much for listening. Just a reminder, 3 Steps to Thrive. Every week we bring on a different entrepreneur or guest where they leave us 3 actionable, simple, and practical steps to improve ourselves or improve the business. Now, these things are so important to get out to other entrepreneurs. So if you could, please consider rating and reviewing the show. The more ratings, the more reviews we have, the more people we can promote it to, and the more business owners that get this knowledge. Because let's face it, small business makes the world go round, and education is the key to improving your small business. My name is James. It's been a pleasure having Doug on the show. Same time, same place next week, and I'll talk to you then. Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.